Call the meeting to order.
You do have the agenda in your packet, I believe, and also the minutes. Have you been able to review the minutes?
Yes.
Okay. I did want to bring one thing up on the minutes. Under group discussion and next steps, it says members then, it's the second paragraph, members then discuss future meetings of the working group. It was decided the working group would meet every other month and the subcommittee would meet on the alternative months. Would it be in line to say, or as called by the chair? Just add that little segment in there. That way we're not strapped as far as when we can meet. All right. We have a motion for the change.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, do we have a approval for the minutes?
We move approval of the minutes.
Dr. Sadowski moves the approval. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Keller seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, first on the agenda, we have update and overview on the business subcommittee. I know Ms. Gloria Contreras-Eden.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yep, I sure am, actually. I'll draw your attention to the sort of outline that we created as a group, kind of just some thoughts about how we're going to do our work. We actually have a really great group of individuals who really care deeply about Minnesota, its economy, and the need for workforce development. These individuals share a common interest in seeing that these efforts will help to strengthen and support Minnesota businesses by focusing on the economic arguments to immigration for job creation, continued economic opportunity, and prosperity for the state. In this document, you'll see a few items. The business subcommittee met once since the last time the working group met. At the meeting, the committee discussed its scope of work to include activities. Down in the bottom, you'll see the activities outlined that really would bring awareness and education of the needs of businesses in Minnesota through data collection and possibly polling. The bottom line, and we've really all concluded the same, businesses need workers. They need a workforce of sufficient size that's stable and will develop skills that it requires. The minutes of the subcommittee, which are also in your packet, I believe, are they in the packet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, the minutes, which we'll present to you at the subsequent, well, this kind of has this document here is somewhat of a brief summary, but there were additional minutes that Ms. Kidd did a nice job of putting together. But the minutes, in sum, will reflect that it was agreed by the subcommittee to begin its work by contacting public relation firms that may be willing to assist the subcommittee on appropriate messaging. Joe Swedberg graciously sent us a packet or sent me a file indicating all the firms that he thought would be most effective in the messaging. The subcommittee has also agreed to work with existing public institutions, universities, to compile data, reports, and to inform the legislature of the public and the public of the need for new Americans and their contributions to the workforce in the state. The subcommittee also discussed the possibility of submitting a budget request to the legislature for some of its activities, including polling on the issues of immigration and report writing. And finally, the business subcommittee hopes to utilize its relationships and leverage the strengths of its members to build a broad-based public and private coalition that will assist in creating solutions to the issues at hand. I personally am thankful for the individuals who work on that subcommittee. They really are just knowledgeable on the issues. Dr. Bruce Corey has also graciously agreed to co-chair with me and to manage the crowd. And so, Dr. Corey, I'm going to defer to you if there's any additional things that you think I've missed or members of the subcommittee. Peter, I know you had also sent us and informed us of a recent article making the argument for the education of the younger new Americans because of their role as a future workforce. Did you want to make comment about that now?
The charter of this group is to look at the assuring full participation of the immigrant population in the state and education and workforce, and then leading to workforce development. from my perspective, and this article talks to that, is a very key part of that integration and how they participate.
That's it for our report. Is there other members of the business subcommittee that want to? Well, no one else is here.
Can I just echo what Mr. Sadowski said? Especially in the light of the discussions in our previous meeting, that when we talk about immigration, and if we frame part of our discussions in terms of the critical workforce shortages in Minnesota, as well as the skill gap and the achievement gap, and how we might need to resolve all of that, and kind of that this is an issue that goes beyond the immigration population but includes it. But it's a foundation upon which a successful immigration policy would work. That if we don't resolve that achievement gap and the education gap, these other foundations start crumbling. So I just want to echo the point that Mr. Stasky.
Thank you.
Yep, that's it for our report.
Any questions from the other members? Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask the group about a conversation that I think has been taking place in several groups with respect to the tensions that exist in times when our economy is not doing well, and how there is a tendency to really look at new immigrants as the people that are at fault for the economic situation of our country. And it seems to me that there are some people who are trying to put together. I met with some people at the University of Minnesota who look at the different times in our country where we have had tough economic situations, and this really is causing tension between groups. And I think it'll be interesting to see if we can consult with some of the people at the university who are doing this, so that we can really put that information as part of the report that comes out of this committee.
Yep, we did talk about that as a group, as a matter of fact, and there were some contentious conversations even in the group. And we did discuss working with reports and research that's already been done by, for example, Dr. Corey's report on case statements for the economic need for new Americans. We also discussed some of the tensions, and I think that we would that's part of why we want to put out some good data and good research and information to be able to demystify some of those conversations. Did anybody else want to add anything?
No. Dr. Sadowski.
Chairman. You'll notice in the data collection section of the minutes, we speak to utilizing your relationship with universities and research institutions. We recognize that there is a large body of knowledge that sits in various repositories within the state that's already been collected. And one can start with DEED and work our way through a whole variety of institutions, and we don't want to redo all of that. But that one of the discussions was to make that information readily available, for example, to policymakers, including people on the legislature who are probably continually challenged on these issues and the value of immigrants, and that this data needs to be readily available and not require, a couple hours on Google to find. And so we recognize that point, that there is some information out there, and it's those kinds of points that need looking at.
That's right. Dr. Corey?
Thank you, Representative Hamilton. I just wanted to comment on that point and also refer to a discussion we had in our subcommittee that might address that, and that direction that we might go is to have a broad statement that addresses our core thinking about immigration and the role of immigrants in this economy, and behind that could be resources, facts, data that people can refer to in situations like this. For the purpose of the record, and I've given out copies to people, and this is more an example of a personal attempt to answer stereotypes. I have a study that I did through the support of the Minneapolis Foundation, on answering the stereotypes as it relates to people of Mexican origin. And I basically go through every major stereotype that has been imposed on that group of people and try to provide some kind of evidence and response to it. And so that is the purpose of this report here. And then I have another one on the people of Liberian origin. And so I support Senator Torres' comment that we should have, as part of that broad statement that we make, a commitment, a calling, a request to people to focus on facts and focus on and let our debate about facts lead to policies, and not try to divert look for easy answers to some of the complex problems or issues that we are facing. And so we could have a statement to the effect that we are a welcoming society, and we call upon our policymakers and our institutions to be flexible and adaptive to the changing global economy and encourage that kind of a framework in Minnesota.
Perfect, Dr. Corey. He's an amazing man.
Yeah, he is.
Any other questions or comments to the business subcommittee?
I just had...
Oh, pardon.
Ms. Chairman, I just had a comment on the kind of information that, Peter, you were bringing up. Yeah, I think it serves us well to look at some of the historic and some of the data that's been collected. And the American Indian Policy Center, we have been doing that, and our findings are that in our case, there has been so little published in captured about the factual and the real situation of American Indians. So that I would suggest that might even prevail over into other ethnicities as well. So you may have sometimes such a small N factor that they get cranked out and thus not reported upon in the final reports or analyses. And I realize that this would have been a better comment at the subcommittee meeting, but I just wanted to give that kind of feedback. Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Popart, thank you, because you did bring that up at the last meeting as well, and we had it in the minutes, and I apologize. Maybe I could turn towards staff as far as helping to bring some of that information as well to where we could review that. So if we can get that in the minutes, because that's the second time you brought that up. So thank you. Dr.
Sure.
Sadowski.
Yeah, I thank you for bringing that up, because in looking in another function at educational statistics in this state, it struck me that, for example, the Red Lake Indian Reservation, the data is there, but it's not integrated into the averages and analyses, and it's not apparent exactly why, but it's interesting that we're exclusionary in how we look at some of our data, and I think that needs to be we need to make sure we don't miss data points that are out there and that kind of behavior is stopped.
Thank you. Any other questions to the subcommittee?
I had a question, Mr. Keller, regarding the polling. If you could just explain a little bit more about the objectives and maybe pros and cons of polling on this issue.
Ms. Contreras, you'd...
Thanks for the question. I appreciate that. The polling issue is not necessarily dispositive. In other words, we're not necessarily saying that this is something we're going to do. Well, these are simply possibilities. Of course, we're acting at this point without any funding. And the thinking behind the polling has a lot more to do with really bringing forward some information on whether or not this is something that people really care about and what their opinions truly are. We know that there has been some polling done already. We know that there is already information out there on people's opinions, but that was discussed as a possibility to determine where people are at today, to get a sense of how we might approach future messaging. But we really concluded that we would take that issue under advisement by the public relations firm that we would be discussing the issues with. And so I believe that that's correct. Is that not correct?
Yes.
Chairman?
Mr. Sadowski, or Dr. Yeah. Sadowski.
The attempt here was to understand completely what is the impression of the state's population on immigration. Right now, one can create a story around that the impression is shaped by those of that are the loudest, not necessarily the majority. And as you walk through the communication filters that exist, one has all of the public media kind of parsing this information and then putting it out there. And the attempt here was to try and assess, is the information that's coming out really reflective of the state's population's impression of immigration? Mm-hmm. I mean, one can easily make the case that right now, especially in economic hard times, as was mentioned, immigrants are easy to vilify. Is that really how the state feels? Mm-hmm. The state of Minnesota has an incredible history about being very socially responsible people. We're empathetic to people that come in to this country and into this state on hard times, and it's resulted in a focus, this being a focus or a destination place for immigrants. So that would argue that some of what we read is not quite representative of what goes on in this state. I think Mr. Popart could state that the attitudes towards American Indians in this state would probably challenge what I've just said. And so the attempt here was to try and find, you know, what we can tease out of the system that the real reflection of the population is. And maybe it's all out there, but the question was, is it really out there? And if not, that has to be incorporated in how we think through how these people can be better socially integrated into the state.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
One additional comment. I see a lot of very positive synergy from the work of the subcommittee and also work that's ongoing. I've had the opportunity to travel now to 6 different regional meetings with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce and several other trade association organizations, Minnesota Hospitality Minnesota, Minnesota Milk Producers, Restaurant Association, as well as AgriGrowth. There is a very concerted effort underway by those in positions of leadership in business associations to lead on this issue. And we've developed jointly position statements. There's a paper, I didn't make copies of today, of the basic principles of the coalition. We addressed the 85 members of the executive level of the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce with the intention of bringing them on board with immigration being one of the top legislative issues for the business community. The meeting went well. I'm assuming that the follow-through will be that they, in fact, will do that. I think it lends a lot of credibility, polling or otherwise, to recognize that work and also to point to it as a sector of Minnesota's population, and particularly the leadership in the business community that has already gotten it around immigration and is trying to lead on this issue. I have no doubt that they would be happy to endorse or share some of the efforts of this working group as well as the subcommittee in an effort to increase the number and the strength of those voices and efforts calling for reform. The other additional thing, excuse me.
Yes,
part of that effort of educating Minnesotans and the business community about why immigration changes and fixing the broken system have to happen. I passed around postcards. Everybody here, of course, is invited, as well as the general public, to October 28th, a full-day session. A national speaker, Tamar Jacoby, is coming in to talk about really the business case and why immigration needs to be reformed at the Neighborhood House.
Thank you. Other questions or comments? Is there a scheduled date for the next subcommittee business meeting?
No, there's not, but I know that we have very good communication, and we all have a real clear task ahead, so we know that it's my job to contact some of the public relation firms, and we will be meeting again to continue our work very soon.
and we'll make sure we get the email issue taken care of so we all can be receiving the emails. Any other questions or comments? If none, we will move on to the next item. Mr. Keller, you're on for update on Illinois and Iowa commissions. Are you ready?
Thank you. I passed around, let me sort of start it with a general view. First of all, thank you to Ms. Kidd for getting information back on the availability of some resources to bring in one or two speakers from these commissions. That is a possibility. I found that out a little bit ago. It's my understanding, I believe it's reflected in the minutes, that this body would like to hear from some people, and I'd be happy to try to coordinate the details once we set our next meeting. I have let a representative from the Iowa Commission know that that is our intention and that we'll be getting back to her. So that's the beginning, really, of learning from what other states have done. Illinois has been a little harder to make a connection with, but I think that's simply because of how broad and expansive their work has been. I did pass around, just for the sake of all having the same information, a document. It has the seal of Illinois on the top of it. And this will give you an idea of what Illinois has been doing. As you can see, the executive order created the council a couple years ago. And as you page through it, they have become sophisticated in a way that they've broken down into separate groups with specific focuses on the types of work that they're doing. In the national review of these types of commissions, I have found none as comprehensive as what Illinois is doing. And I think a lot of that has to do with the leadership of Governor Blagojevich down there who really set this in motion. You can see, I'm sorry I didn't number the pages, but the list of people and backgrounds on the policy council, they expanded it to 15 people, and they tried to get a broad overview of business, immigrant representative groups, as well as different faith communities. And I think the other important piece that we could learn from what Illinois did is if you look at the National Advisory Council, my assumption is that these folks are serving in a advisory and most likely a non-remunerated capacity. But they really are some of the nation's top experts on immigration reform. And I think it's really helpful, especially when immigration is such a federal policy, that we think about whether or not that would make sense. There are folks, of course, in the state of Minnesota, but also I have no doubt that some of these folks would also deliver some of the same guidance to this committee should we find that to be something we wanted to do. And they went forward, then you can see as you move towards that very small font, and I apologize for that, in recommending 10 ways Illinois helps new immigrants feel at home. They, too, have taken the approach that, first and foremost, the state needs immigrant workers. I think they mention in the resolution, I forget how many it was back then, 20% of the state's population were immigrants or children of immigrants, and that the economy is really dependent on them. Of course, equivalent statistics in Minnesota, it's about 6%, but the workforce principles for what Illinois did were really what guided this. We have a aging workforce. We need to, as a broad coalition, find the best strategies to make Illinois, and you can just insert Minnesota for much of what Illinois has done, a place where people feel welcome, where they quickly integrate, and where they become productive members of their new home. And I think Illinois has done a great job of doing that. So I think it'd be a very large benefit to this committee to talk about, to bring them in and ask them to give us some of the history of how they have overcome some of the initial challenges. There definitely, you can see from this, is a significant amount of budget attached to the work that they're doing. So that's something that's not going to be popular as this session comes around. But I think the idea of really comparing models in Iowa and Illinois will give us the opportunity to do that and also to talk about any federal money that they have been able to bring to the task that they're undertaking. could really help solve some of those budget issues. What is feasible? What can we ask for assistance from the federal government as well? So that's a summary of Illinois in particular. I'll also add that a couple other states are about at the same stage, and I didn't do as comprehensive a review as I would have liked to, but the state of Washington in 08 also created a new American Policy Council, 12 to 15 members, very similar to what we're doing, and in some ways similar sizes. I've heard good things about them and that council and its initiative. New Jersey has also created a new Americans Commission. I'm not sure of the exact language for the New Jersey Commission, but also has received high marks. And then there are other more specific initiatives that states have taken, two in particular, Massachusetts and New York, focused on citizenship. And they said one of the ways in which the state can integrate new arrivals is to really, number one, welcome them by saying, we will do what we can to help you become U.S. citizens as quickly as possible. So marshaling the legal option, the legal resources for people to get help, and also this resolution from New York actually put dollars towards funding citizenship initiatives, something that actually Senator Gimsey and I coordinated around last April. We did, through a broad coalition, eight different citizenship sites throughout the state. Of course, there was no state funding for it, which would have been helpful. But it's the same sort of initiative that gives the message to newcomers that there's a partnership between nonprofits or immigrant organizations and the state of really helping people to secure the strongest of foundations, which is citizenship. So that gives you a broad overview of things other states are doing, and then with the data, I didn't want to print stuff from all of the states, but I can release, I'll send out by email the links to the different states' websites on these commissions.
Questions? Dr. Corey.
Well, Mr. Keller was speaking. I was reminded at our last meeting, we said we would invite the councils to be on the table too, and I see Roger Banks here for sure, and would we
Rosa is from
Rosa Tuck
from Quack.
From the Chicano Latino.
So are we, is that going to be our policy?
Mr. Corey, that's great. If the members would like to join us at the table, you're more than welcome. Thank you for pointing that out, Dr. Corey.
Thank you.
Another point I wanted to make, and that was, and I was just going through this document, that it looks like the state of Illinois spent a lot of money collecting some general information that we could use anyway. In particular, there was the National Advisory Panel. If we could get their documents that panel gave, it says that composed of immigration policy experts, on page 3 of the summary, that they explored explore the issues surrounding immigration integration. I think they will have a lot of national-based data that we could have as part of our background documents that could make available for people.
Yeah, I have no doubt. Yeah. Excuse me, Chair. That if we are able to secure a date and a commitment from Illinois, that I would ask him or her to pack a large suitcase of information that they'd be willing to share.
Dr. Sadowski.
Chairman Hamilton. I'm wondering if it would be possible to take a little bit of the burden off people sending all these links out, and could a HTTP site or something be created? Where,
sure. We have a website already. I can just make a page.
If you could just park that stuff there, and when we want to access it.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Kidd. Any other comments?
Okay, there was the idea of bringing in individuals from the other states. We do have a budget, correct? Looking towards the Legislative Coordinating Commission. We do have a budget. Would you like to comment on that as far as how do we go about securing those funds and getting approval to bring these people to come and address? Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Morning, members. I'm Greg Gibbinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. As I pointed out, the legislature did not really appropriate any funds for this working group, but our commission does have a contingency account to support working groups and commissions that get created in the last hours of sessions. And so we have sufficient funds to support these meetings and bringing in members from Iowa and Illinois.
Okay, so going about getting approval, then we just make the recommendations to you, or is this the approval here today that we can go ahead and schedule these meetings?
You can schedule those meetings.
We can schedule those. Mr. Keller, would you like to take responsibility on lining that up, all right, and work through the chairs as well so we can help coordinate
that?
Do
you want to set a next meeting date? That,
We will. Okay. We will. All right. All right. Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none? Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mr. Keller? Would you like to wrap that one up?
No, I think that's as much as I have to share. If people have recommendations as to, you know, let's say that within 6 weeks or whatever the next date is, if people have recommendations as to precise issues, I'm happy to try to frame the issues that I can come up with in terms of the best use of their time while they're here. But if people have suggestions, feel free to send me emails. The people that I will ask to attend will be those most competent to talk about the formation and the successes as well as challenges, which is, I think, what will be most helpful to us as we move forward. But feel free to send. You don't have to send it to the whole list for email safety.
All right. Thank you. Just for clarification, Ms. Toke and Mr. Banks, if you have any questions or comments, just get my attention if you would, please. So, okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for joining us as well. All right. Next on the agenda, then, Mr. Keller, you're up as well for update on the working group extension.
I think we have. Thank you. I think we have a good solution or a possible solution. In speaking with Mr. Hibinger this week, we worked through a couple scenarios, and as please correct me if I'm not accurate in how I relay our conversation. The piece of paper that we received when we first got here, which was a copy of the statute, you'll see that the statute authorizes the work or the objectives of the statute to carry on until June, is it?
Mm-hmm.
That disconnect is that LCC, who was tasked with creating this working group, is only able to do it for a 12-month period. I think that's accurate. Something like that. In any event, the end date which LCC had to stick to for this particular working group remains January 1st. It is my belief, after our conversation, that if the members of the working group believe that we have work yet to do and are willing to continue to do that work, we could either send something in writing to that effect or simply vote on it today and have that recommendation given to the LCC, who has the discretion, I understand, to extend the function or the existence of this working group. The second piece of trying to keep this work going would be to reapproach the authors, Mr. Chair, of this working group and see whether or not they would be interested in extending the date of the end date of that statute. So those are two recommendations. If there's anything you'd like me to clarify or if I didn't get it quite right, Mr. Hibinger, I'd be happy to take any questions if that's not clear.
Any questions?
We, at the business subcommittee, thought about the topic of extension and whether our work would continue beyond the working group. And one of our questions to Representative Hamilton and Senator Gimsey was about extension. It was clear to us that providing some sort of statement of purpose to be able to bolster an argument for further extension would be helpful. We have that is partly why we've narrowed our scope. And so as a business subcommittee, I can tell you that we've agreed to develop at least clear objectives, clear purpose, and clear activities for the purposes of extending the working group. And so not sure if the rest of the committees will continue along the same vein, but it's simply a recommendation.
Thank you. Mr. Keller, I would recommend that we do both. Okay. I would like to see a motion here today, if you would like to frame it up as a motion, and then also approach the authors as well. Okay, so would you like to make a motion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move that the extension of this working group be recommended to the LCC to match the end date of the statute, which is June 30th, 2009.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second that motion.
Senator Torres Reyes seconds the motion. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, Mr. Keller, are you also going to take the lead on addressing the authors of the bill as well?
Mr. Chair, I'll try to find some time to speak with the authors as soon as possible.
Very
noting
well.
That the chair is one of the authors.
Very well. Thank you. Okay, let the minutes reflect that as well. Mr. Keller's taking the lead on that to keep the authors focused. Okay, any other questions or comments?
I just add, Mr. Chair, that lest there be any misunderstanding of the motives or intentions, there is no compensation for the members, at least as far as I can tell, sitting on this commission, as far as I've gained.
There is none. You're right. You're right. All right. Any other questions or comments? No? Seeing none, we will move into the next agenda item, open meeting laws. And Senator Torres Ray, we had your name behind that, but I think what we could do, because you and I were both, assigned the task of addressing open meeting laws and meeting location possibilities. I think what we could do is invite Greg back up here again. And if you would like to just comment on that one more time, if you would, please. Are you comfortable with that as far as mainly the question is on the meeting location possibilities again? One of the questions that we had was, is there a budget to where we could secure funds to take this on the road, if you will, go out in different parts of the state and be able to gather information from others? And there was a question there about open meeting laws as well, just to make sure that we're not in violation of any open meeting laws with the subcommittees. And I don't know if you could answer that. It was a question that was brought up, and if there's anybody that would like to clarify that, feel free.
Mr. Chair and members, our contingency account is sufficient so that if the working group wants to schedule meetings around the state to gather input from citizens, we can provide the financial support for that.
All right, thank you.
We usually meet the open meeting law requirements by posting notice of those meetings, no matter where they are, on the website for both the working group and in the House and Senate schedules. And that is usually deemed sufficient for meeting that public notice requirement.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on that?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Keller.
Mr. Hibinger, would the posting of the meeting meeting notices be required also for subcommittee meetings, in your understanding?
Mr. Keller, we usually post notice of those meetings as well, and the expectation is that those meetings are public.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think
Mr.
Corey?
Dr. Corey, excuse me.
The question was, are all meetings among members around this topic considered official meetings, or it is, like, suppose if I were to invite Mr. Keller for a meeting to talk about a committee agenda, would that need to be posted on, or is it are we prevented from just meeting?
Ms. Schubing.
Mr. Chair and Dr. Corey, the standard that is used in the legislature is if there's a quorum of the group that constitutes a meeting, then it would have to be public. But if it's a couple of members getting together to talk, that would not be.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? Okay.
One more question.
Yes, Dr. Corey.
Would the meetings be are the meetings transcribed, and or are they just minutes? I mean, every meeting that we have, are they transcribed word for word, or people have to have testimonies, sworn testimonies? And,
Mr. Hubing.
Mr. Chair, Dr. Corey, we record the meetings and post the audio on the website and make it available in alternative forms for people who request it, but we do not prepare transcripts.
So,
Dr. Corey.
So we are recorded at this meeting.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
It would have been good to know at the beginning, perhaps. Just kidding.
We should be more clear with these groups that include citizens. Members of the legislature are used to having everything be recorded, and we should just remind that and point that out to members of the public that participate in these meetings.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes,
Mr. Chair.
Dr. Sadoff.
There was a question that came up at our meeting the other week as to whether or not we needed to record it or not, and I don't know what we did, but you might want to clarify that.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Apparently, we did not record that meeting.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Okay. Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
I would like to see if we can spend a couple of minutes just talking about this process of scheduling the meetings around the state and just making, perhaps brainstorming a little bit about, you know, where do we go and why. Do we pick those places based on the work that we want to do in this group? It seems that we are trying to connect the aspect of business and economic growth. So it would make sense to me that we have these meetings in places where we have constituents who are interested in talking about that. If we're going to talk about other themes, I would like to make sure that we kind of geographically pick places where, you know, these conversations could really include people who have knowledge, who have interest, so that we hear from people who actually have some information that we can use for our for the work that this group needs to do. So I don't know how we go about that. I mean, we can kind of informally share that information with one another and suggest, you know, places where, you know, we could have these meetings. But I certainly think that we need to have some kind of criteria for selecting a few places in the state where we could have meetings. We tend to have a lot of meetings in the cities, which I, you know, I'm sure we need to have at least one because we have a high concentration of, you know, diverse populations here. But I really would like to have a couple of meetings in rural Minnesota, in suburban Minnesota, and would like to know if we shall we develop a committee to work on that and develop some kind of criteria, or how do we do that? Or shall we just have a conversation here?
Any comments? Any suggestions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Mr.
Popar. I have some assumptions about this, and maybe I'm all wrong, but are there places like Wilmer or Moorhead or Worthington and to me, those are sort of the highlights, you know, and just perhaps others as well. But in the business committee was talking about an audience or at least marketing some of this information and informing public as well as perhaps public policy folks. It just seems natural to me that we would go there in hear the real story or the testimonies of some of those folks who live in those areas about what we're trying to engage here. Mm-hmm. What's that real underground substance that could inform us to help us prepare and assemble a piece to share with others? So that was my first blush reaction to cite this.
Excuse me, Dr. Corey. Before we go to you, we had Mr. Collins.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Collins. Okay. Thank you and welcome. Welcome to the group.
Not to take a lot of there's a committee working with veterans, kind of a welcome home. So I'm trying to split two meetings. I went to that one and wanted to. Just so you know.
Well, thank you and welcome.
Dr. Corey.
A couple of thoughts here. First, we might want to give it a little thought about the locations after consulting with either demographic experts and others to have a blend of places where there could be a Wilma kind of place. There could be a Burnsville place, a new suburb where I believe 40% immigrants are in part of the school district. There could be some places which do not have any immigrant. But also we might look at not necessarily places but organizational groups, like what Mr. Keller mentioned, that group of people, but kind of opening it up to organizations, opening it up to academic types who would might want to provide their research or expertise or whatever, or local officials or health and so. I mean, we could splice it in different ways, or either having it at places, but in making sure these other groups get invited to attend those particular locations.
Thank you, Ms. Contreras-Eden.
Thanks. Well, Mr. Poupart, you're thinking right along the same lines that I'm thinking, so I'm glad you mentioned it. Because I think that those names of Wilmer and Worthington and Moorhead are real consistent with what I think the state demographer might assist us with help identifying. But I think to answer the question that Senator Torres had asked, whether we discuss that issue here or whether we discuss it at some committee level, I would recommend that it, given that it may need some thoughtful consideration, and Mr. Poupart, I think your opinion is really valuable, especially because there's information that I feel like you have and knowledge that I think is I would just love to learn more about personally. So I think we should discuss it at some committee level. Now, I don't know who might volunteer to do that, but it would require another subcommittee or perhaps handing it to a committee to be able to address that issue as well. So I would suggest my recommendation would be a subcommittee at this point.
Any comments? My sense, Mr. Chairman, excuse me.
Senator Torres.
My assumption is that the committee will just meet once. I don't think that we need to have, you know, really ongoing conversation about selecting and just letting us know what is their recommendation. So that they select perhaps, you know, geographic criteria, growth, population concentration. Therefore, you recommend these three, and then we look at our budget and make those decisions.
Representative Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I haven't been too chatty this morning. I've been a little under the weather. You know, in my district, we have some medical device companies, and we've actually had people who have come here from other nations, particularly in the Pacific Rim, to offer skills that we don't necessarily have in high quantities, too. So while I'm not necessarily volunteering the northern suburbs, you know, you have areas like Medtronic, St. Jude Medical, Boston Scientific, and others who are really looking at the issue of labor force as it relates to the higher skills. And I think that might be another interesting discussion to have in another community. I don't know if it's in that area or somewhere in the suburban ring somewhere.
Thank you, Representative Gardner. Ms. Contreras-Eden, would you like to lead a group on discussing possibilities or discussing the areas on where these meetings should take place outside of the metro area?
Well, I'd be honored to, and I'd be happy to. I would ask that Mr. Poupart strongly consider co-leading it with me and perhaps convening a group together.
Sure.
To be mutually respectful of both our calendars, if that's okay, Representative Hamilton?
Is that a motion?
Yes, it is.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. So we will be hearing from Mr. Poupart or Ms. Contreras-Eden as far as when that is actually going to take place, correct? Via email?
Yes, right. Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. Okay. We'll move on to other business.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes, Mr. Keller.
I'm happy to also try to brainstorm around some of those hearings. I just am not sure if there's a consensus among the entire working group as to, you know, time frames. Are we trying to do these before the upcoming session? Are we trying to you know, what are the main objectives? And I don't know if folks who might not be at that brainstorming session of a subcommittee would like to offer an opinion on what the main objectives of field hearings would be. I'd also suggest that I think that we could do one in the metro area and get a lot of very good input, even though it is the metro area. So, not that we have to do one or the other, but maybe both would be good.
Any other comments or suggestions to Mr. Gellers?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Dr. Sadowski. Members. I mean, I think the purpose is to get, at least from my narrow perspective, to look at what the charge of the committee was according to the legislation that was passed. And we're supposed to understand the diversity or help the state legislators in understanding how that gets fostered, ID underutilized resources, and facilitate full participation. Now, that last one is kind of fairly broad and all kinds of room for mischief there. We can pursue all of our agendas and run out of agendas probably, but I think that that needs to be clear. And so I think sitting through people telling us what's wrong with building a fence against in Texas is probably not tremendously interesting to what we're trying to do here. How to reform the federal immigration laws may also not be particularly germane. We're dealing with the state issue here. Mm-hmm. And I think that needs to be the focus.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Ms. Contreras-Eden.
I agree with you, Dr. Sadowski. And, in fact, I think that the statewide meetings would be greatly benefited if we had already existing information from the councils. I know personally that Chicano Latino Affairs Council has done some statewide meetings as well and has already identified some underutilized resources so that we sort of address directly the charge of the charter. And I'm not sure if other councils have similar information, but can I ask if that's a possibility of having you also a part of the discussion on the statewide meetings?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ms. Collin? Ms. Tolk?
Yes, I would be glad to report this kind of initiative to our director, but I'm sure that given the network that we've been able to build in this last year and a half, I think that that's a possibility. I'm sure that he will support it, but I can make that recommendation, surely.
Yeah. Thank you. Mr. Banks, anything to add?
No, except to say that it's really critical that we have these kinds of meetings, and particularly in the outstate areas, because that's, in many respects, the unwelcoming area of the state. Not that the metro area is much better, but the whole idea, essentially, is that we need to get this kind of input so that we can develop realistic policies and policies that will benefit and be a win-win situation for everybody.
Thank you, sir. Yes.
I'd like to ask, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask a clarifying question then. As Mr. Poupart and I set a time for a meeting, I suspect it won't just be one now, but would it be appropriate then to include members of the council in that email to ask if that the meeting time fits with their schedule, just because I feel like their information is incredibly valuable. Is that appropriate under the meeting laws and the commission or the committee, the working group?
You can invite whoever you want.
Right. Yeah. And like Senator just said, I believe we can invite whomever we want.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it'd be appropriate.
Okay, great.
Mr. Yes, Chairman. Dr. Sadowski.
Maybe we could have Mr. Keller comment on, or maybe don't need to comment, but consider in your evaluation or discussion whether places that I think you were alluding to trips out of this metro area that I believe Chamber of Commerce and other labor mm-hmm. or other
business
groups have done, whether yeah. it would be an unnecessary duplication or if there would be benefit, and I'm not sure which way, but you've got the benefit of one of those pieces of information, so at least consider that in your...
Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Keller.
Thank you, Dr. Sadowski. The, you know, the part of my sort of cautionary comments about scope and number of meetings is that having really traveled across the state, both with the business collaborative as well as on my own. There is a lot that a lot of people have to say about immigration, and I think it's important that the committee be clear in who it wants to hear from, not that you can control or even want to control who has an opportunity to speak, but I think it's very important to sort of think through the whole process in terms of the number of meetings and the hoped-for objectives, which and in addition, the amount of work that it takes to process the information that comes in. It raises the time frame question. It raises fairness questions to public meetings. And the other reality in my travels, and I think it's safe and fair to say that immigration is extremely misunderstood by many people on all different levels, and maybe that's part of the message that we come back and try to make suggestions and policy recommendations on. Iowa, for example, I mean, one of the things that Iowa did looks like one of their excuse me main documents is to actually create I think it's about a 32-page document educating the state of Iowa on who is in Iowa and how they got there, you know, as an objective to, you know, do some of that education piece. So the caution is not a lack of appetite for it, but just a thinking through of exactly where we want to go, what we want to accomplish, and in what time frame. Because the meetings themselves, I think, are very valuable, but the processing on people's time and budgets is a real challenge.
Senator Torres, right?
Mr. Chairman, could I make a suggestion then that we could ask the committee that was formed to develop the criteria for selecting sites also help us include in their conversation that will these questions as to what do we need to do, how long do we meet, why do we do that, do we do the same thing in every area? In other words, really determining the criteria and goals for the actual hearings, and I would like to invite you, Mr. Chairman, and I to attend perhaps part of that meeting, if not all of that meeting, to make sure, and all of us really if we can, Representative Gardner, to make sure and make sure that Senator Gimsey is also invited, so that we are have a common understanding of what we really want to do, how we want to accomplish that. And I think we can do that. We can come to the meeting. You can take the lead on organizing that for us and perhaps, you know, making some suggestions. But at the end, I think we need to make a decision about what is that we want to accomplish through those hearings.
Dr. Stout.
Mr. Chairman, members. Mr. Killer, maybe we should spend a little bit of time on talking about what these meetings, what the reason for them is, because if I misinterpreted this, please correct me, but if the goal here is we're going to go around the state listening to people, and out of that we're going to publish a 30 to 40 page report, I'm quite frankly would like to have that discussed, because I would have a hard time supporting that. I think the people that we are aiming at convincing the value of immigrants to this state are not likely to sit and read a 40-page report put out by the state. I'd like to see the data that I'm wrong, but I think you'd be hard-pressed to produce it. So, I mean, I know why I think this would be very valuable to us. In our sub-team meeting, we discussed the idea of trying to understand what people's views are and, you know, initially at a qualitative level and then maybe moving this into a quantitative study so that the message could be tailored to address the people with the right medium, and I don't know what that medium is. And I think in that it's very valuable to us to actually get some raw data inputs, not data that's gone through a PR firm that we might use. And that would be my personal benefit out of such meetings. I'm not sure if that's what the goal here is or not, but maybe we should discuss that a little bit so we're on the same page as to why we're going to be trying to find time to go around the state.
Go ahead.
I would like to ask then again, Senator Patricia Torres, when you raised the question, was it your intent that we simply conduct the meetings of the working group statewide, or that we create a statewide meetings so that we might understand some of the underutilized resources and identify some of the underutilized resources, or would it simply be advisory opportunity for members and leaders of various communities just to provide input on how we might be able to do our work better? I'm not at this point. I'd like to get some clarity behind what you were thinking.
Senator?
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Contreras, part of, I think, what we have heard is that people have an opinion about this issue and have some ideas. And depending on who these people are, you know, they you know, we might have some differences of opinion about, you know, how we should do this business. But I think that there is a tremendous need to open the door and an opportunity to hear these individuals. Now, I think that Mr. Sadowski really brings up the question of, do we really have an open hearing and, you know, have an open an opportunity just to anybody? So we have 2 hours, and anybody who signs up, we do that constantly at the legislature, will come and speak. Or do we want to talk to specific businesses and or specific individuals who might have some expertise that we really need to conduct our business here as a working group of this commission? We can do either. We always do both. You know, at the legislature, we open hearings to whomever wants to come, or we can extend invitations to have expert individuals on specific issues to come and present. We're doing that with Iowa, certainly, and Illinois. We're bringing experts who've done this work, and we can open that particular meeting to a couple other, you know, experts as well, and invite everybody to come. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we can ask people to send comments online. Whether or not we produce a report, I don't think that's necessary, but I think it's important that we review that information. So I think that the open, because of the political implications and the difficult times that we're going through in terms of immigration, the open meeting that anybody could come and we'd be there for 2 hours to hear may not be the most appropriate, because we end up, you know, with just information from individuals who really want to come and vent with us or say something that may not be very beneficial. So we may talk about really what kind of information do we need and who could provide that information so that we can extend an invitation to those individuals.
Mr. Popart.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, these are all excellent questions, because, you know, in my mind's eye, I'm seeing a sea of gray out there, depending on what the testimony is, who's invited, and so forth. And I would suggest that we look at this in terms of a report being a product, but work backward from there is, how do you assemble a report? And can we organize it in sections? And can we also organize the people who would show up at these meetings into sectors? And just for easy out here, I'd say into social, political, and the economic interests. Those three for starters. I mean, just sort of help us kind of lay some groundwork of where we're going, for some substance and stability. And if others, you know, come up, then we accommodate those as we move ahead. So I suggest that we look at those three sectors and then, you know, proceed along that way if we can.
And you know, we did set up the business subcommittee. We set up the social subcommittee as well. Yeah. And the political subcommittee, we're going to wait to get the report back from the other two before we actually met with the political subcommittee. Representative Gardner?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had some thoughts on this issue, too, and it ties a little bit with the charge that I haven't fulfilled, which is to be the chair of the Cultural Heritage Subcommittee, and I've been little preoccupied with the election, obviously, which is 45 days away or so.
Yeah, give or take
8 hours and 36 minutes. So. But I've been under the weather, so I've been recuperating at home and have had a chance to do some thinking and some research about how to format that. It's not going to be quite as content-rich, I think, as the business subcommittee, but I think this, what I was foreseeing that this group could do could actually help as we go on the road, because a lot of the people who would be somewhat skeptical of what we're trying to show might reflect on their own experience. I finally located some folks at the U with the Immigration History Research Center where we could, you know, have some of the skeptics say, well, yeah, 100 years ago, gee, I guess, yeah, Grandpa spoke German, and so now he knows English. I guess that just happened. And I'd like to look at some of the struggles of where we've been, so that might allow some of those skeptics who also come from a very similar background, just at a different time, to think a little bit bigger. So that's what I'd like to contribute to that part, is if and when we go on the road. I think maybe some people, and I have thought about this, is somehow we're going to get 100 members of the Minnesota Minutemen, you know, show up at a meeting and just sort of derail everything we're trying to do and talking about data. And maybe that's okay. Those are the people that we need to be talking to. But the last thing is we have a lot of media outreach resources at our disposal in the House. We're all politicians. We're all trying to say how great our work is or how terrible the other guy's work is or what have you. But those would be resources that I think, at least in the House, we could bring to bear to be able to have local editorial board visits. Let's say we went to Worthington. Well, we should be talking with the editors of the Worthington paper. We should be doing, if they do, I don't know how they work cable TV, they do it in the suburbs, but we can organize discussions that way. We could engage the local chambers of commerce to be co-sponsors of some of those meetings and also talk to organized labor. So I think we have an opportunity to not just have a quick meeting, but have some lasting impact where there's a discussion locally about the work that we're doing. And if Representative Hamilton and I can, at least on the House side, can bring some of those folks along with us or have them ready for us, I think we should try and do that.
Mr. Banks.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to mention at this point in time that one of the critical issues that needs to be understood by this body and the community in general is the dynamics of the immigrant and refugee area. That is, that all is not, you know, there's assumption, what I hear here is there's an assumption that there's some form of congeniality associated with all the various groups that we're dealing with. But underlying that assumption are the kinds of realities that exist in our communities, the kinds of hostilities, and although unbased, you know, that exist. And there are organizations that I would encourage you to explore and at least discuss this issue with. One's called the Brown Power Movement that involves Affirm and the Urban League and the whole. They got some funds from the Dream Fund, from the Minneapolis Foundation, etc., to deal specifically with the whole concept of civic engagement and some of the barriers. Because a lot of the barriers that exist are barriers that have been developed through policy and practices by public policy. And they have developed this sort of divide and conquer syndrome. And we need to be able to if we're going to resolve this problem, resolve it together without the kind of animosities or misunderstandings or myths in reality that exist. Because the attitudes in America regarding the Chicano Latino population, the Asian Pacific population, the black population, for example, those kind of attitudes have been here for years. They've been here since the 1860s. The China Exclusionary Act, the Alianza Federal de Mercedes' quest to get the land grants that were taken away as a result of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. I mean, you know, we need this kind of information to understand and put everything in the appropriate perspective.
Thank you, Mr. Banks.
Yes, Dr. Corey.
I want to reflect some of what I heard. I think it might be good to have one open meeting where everybody has an option, anybody can have an opportunity to speak, but all of our other meetings could be very specific. For example, Representative Gardner talked about cultural heritage. I'd love to hear a discussion or see models of cultural heritage tourism. I know the Native American community has a model that's in greater Minnesota. They're exploring on cultural heritage tourism and what's that model and how we can develop that as a way tap into the cultural capital that immigrants bring, or agritourism, or entrepreneurship, but around specific themes. If our hearing is taking place, our input will be more specific and focused on some of the areas that we might want to suggest as we might develop.
Thank you, Dr. Corey. And, you know, that leads into a question that I have on that subcommittee, Cultural Heritage Subcommittee. I know on the business committee we have both Ms. Contreras-Eden and Dr. Corey that are co-chairs on that. And we never did set up a co-chair on the Ethnic Heritage or the Cultural Heritage Subcommittee. Is that right, Representative Gardner?
That's correct, although as I'm looking at some of the things that we said we'd do, which is look at our what working group members thought we should work on, there are actually very few bullet points that related to cultural heritage, so that the scope is a little bit narrower, and so we haven't done anything with it yet. But
well, Representative, I think we have another bullet point or another suggestion. Is there a member that's willing to co-chair? Are you looking for a co-chair as well, Representative Gardner?
Help is always welcome. You never know what could happen in 45 days, so you may need a new chair. I don't know.
Do we have a volunteer? Is the chair to appoint somebody?
Well, Senator Torres Ray got up and left. You know, she might do that.
I don't know if I want to do that.
She's actually a member of the subcommittee as well, so at least she and I should be talking anyway.
So do you make the motion?
I don't know if I could usurp the power of the Senator. But
you want to talk to her?
I certainly could approach her and ask
and
her
to co-chair. Right. If you would visit. Yes, Mr. Poupart.
Mr. Chair, I know we have apparently boundless energy here, and I know we're assembling a lot of hearings and meetings and subcommittees. But I just want to remind us that some of us have a pretty heavy agenda on our own, mm-hmm. and I won't speak for others, but I will speak for myself. When I'm here, nobody else is doing my job back at the office, and I have 9 projects going at this time at my agency. So I have this feeling that I would want to do this cultural heritage subcommittee, but on the other hand, I hesitate on that. But it depends on the timing. If there are co-chairs, and if I can attend, I'd love to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Poupart. We're all in the same boat, and I think that was the discussion on the subcommittees to where they can be more focused, and it would be less individuals. And we have other people that we can call on as well and reach out to, and I thank you for that. And, you know, the goal here was to have these subcommittees be extremely focused on that one topic, that one agenda, and then be able to come back to the larger committee and give us updates and keep that moving forward, because the ultimate goal is to have something concrete that we can share with the legislature come the first of the year. So I thank you for your candor. Thank you. Any other comments on that portion? Or we're still on the open business or other business? Are there any other items?
I wanted to make it known that recently Senator Patricia Torres-Ray was provided with a very distinguishable award that most of you probably are not aware of, but the Mexican consulate, the new consular, Ana Fajer, recently honored Senator Ray, and I wanted to make everyone aware of that. She was honored at a independence event on Monday evening, and so I just wanted to make let everyone know that. And then secondly, I also wanted to just make everyone aware that I'm always noticing Miss Kidd's work, and she's at every single subcommittee, and she always gets the minutes to us on time. And thank you, at least on my behalf, and I know that other members are very thankful for your work. So we're noticing.
Absolutely. Thank you. Any other agenda items? I know that Mr. Keller is anxiously waiting for the next meeting to be set so that he can get up with the Illinois and the Iowa commissions. Would it be appropriate at this time, or I believe it would be appropriate at this time, to take a look at our schedules and see when the next full committee meeting? Senator Torres Ray will be chairing that meeting, and she said go ahead and set the date, and it will be okay with her. So that's maybe a little dangerous, but she did give us that direction. So in the meetings minutes previously, we agreed that we would be meeting every other month. Was that correct? In the minutes, that's what it stated. We'd be meeting every other month as far as the larger business. So that would put us into the first part of November. Is that too late, or is that adequate for everybody?
After the 4th, it's all wide open now.
Be cautious.
Late? You know what? Representative Gardner, that brings up a good point. Would you rather have it before the election? Not that I am insinuating anything, my friend. I am not.
We're fine until January 1 or whatever it is. But
we're all in the same boat.
No, actually, mornings actually work out just fine in October as well. That's fine. And there are some dates, I guess, we're not supposed to use in... I guess it doesn't matter. They get orientation and 10 days after the election. Mr. Chair, actually, mornings anytime in October, you know, unless there's some other conflict, certainly I think would be just fine.
Okay. The comment was made, most of us don't have our calendars in front of us. And I know Mr. Keller is anxiously waiting for that next meeting to be set. Ms. Kidd is very good as far as getting information out to us, and we can give her feedback. How about we let Senator Torres Ray send that email out to us as soon as she possibly can, and that way we can all check our schedules, set the next date. Fair enough. Mr. Keller, are you okay with that?
Fine, Mr.
Chair. All right, thank you. Any other business items? If not, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Very efficient.